Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage your headline act for this evening. It's Mr. John Maloney.
Good evening, everybody. We'll just do a quick level check for me. Quick joke. Bank robber runs into a bank, shoots into the ceiling, everybody hits the floor. In the kerfuffle, his balaclava has slipped. He says to the first bloke on the floor, he says, "Did you see my face?" Bloke says, "Yeah," shoots him dead. Says the next bloke, "Did you see my face?" He says, "I did, yeah," shoots him dead. Says the next bloke, "Did you see my face?" He says, "No, I didn't. The wife did." That's not in the show, we're just getting a level, that's all. Well, good evening, everybody. I'm John Maloney. Not a lot of material. But I find that when you're a bit of a looker, it don't really matter. So it's always important to start your first radio show with a visual gag. Now, I grew up in a place called Ilford in Essex. It was a quite rough kind of place. You feel overdressed with both ears. The 176 bus goes there. Doesn't come back. But I think the gesture's quite important. When I lived in Ilford, the bloke next door to me, his name was Dave. Not Dave, Dave. Bit of a rough diamond. He wasn't the brightest bloke in the world. If he was any more stupid, you'd have to water him. And I saw him in the pub one night reading. I thought, that's not like Dave, reading. What are you doing, Dave? I'm reading. Oh, what? What are you reading? It's a book. Okay, what's it about? It's about John F. Kennedy. Oh, really? What, his political career or his assassination? Oh, you've spoilt the end now, you bastard. I just thought he might know, that's all. We're obsessed in this country with our animals. We're obsessed with our animals. Are we aware of this? Our animals cost us more than we cost ourselves on a daily basis. I'll give an example. I've got a cat called Edward. And get this, Edward, my cat, has been diagnosed no less, as stressed. I've got a stressed cat. 23 hours a day he sleeps. So for that one waking hour window, where he generally has a couple of poos and a couple of sachets of Felix as good as it looks. And I must admit, it does look quite good. Once you factor out his pooing and eating time, for the remaining 30 minutes, he can't cope. He's struggling. He's ill at ease with himself. But you're saying to yourselves, because you're a fine, evidential, intelligent audience, you're saying to yourselves, well, that's all well and good, John, mate. How do you know he's stressed? Well, I'll tell you, it gets even more absurd. He started to self-harm. I've got a self-harming cat. What he's done, right, he's bitten some of the fur off one of his paws. And my missus spotted it first, and she said,
that's not right.
Well, it's not ideal.
You've got to take him down the vet. You've got to get him in that cat box now.
So I approach him from behind, stealthily, dropping him into the box, using gravity as my primary weapon. But unfortunately, I gave him about 4 foot notice. So on the way down, he woke up. And he put his two front paws over the top of the box like this, solid as a rock. I'm trying to prise him in. He's absolutely solid. Because he'd seen this thing on the Discovery Channel. About the pyramids. And he loves all that. And as we all know, the pressure at the tip of a pyramid is inversely proportional to the pressure of the base, which is why on any given plane it's considered the perfect symmetrical object. So he's sitting there thinking,
Well, the pyramids have been standing for 4,000 years. Our appointment's at 3 o'clock. Chances are, I'm going to win this.
So I hit him with a spade. Well, he's good at geometry, but he's shit at surprises, you know what I'm saying? He didn't spot that coming using the set square. And then I took him down to the vet. And something strange happened to the vet, and anybody out in this world who's had a pet will know this may have happened to them. And you might have let it go, but I just found it rather disconcerting. I'm sitting there reading the paper, shooting the breeze. Edward's in the box, and the vet comes out and reads out your pet's first name, accompanied by your second name. How long has that been acceptable in modern Western society? The vet come out like this.
Edward Maloney?
As if the cat's going to answer. What's he going to say?
I'll be in a minute. I'm just a bit stressed, mainly because my dad hit me with a spade. It's a perfect symmetrical object.
So me and Edward Maloney went into the shiny Dettoli surgery area. I poured him out of the box onto the table, and then the vet took Edward's temperature in the traditional fashion, lifted his tail, whacked in the thermometer. I'll be honest with you, Edward wasn't expecting that. He wasn't expecting that at all. In fact, he made a noise I've never heard him make before. I've had him 7 years. I thought I'd heard all his cat noises. I was wrong. Because he went, meow. That was the noise he made. That was the noise. It wasn't a meow. A meow is duosyllabic. This was, meow. It was a different thing altogether. And he's, you know, he's normally quite a high-pitched cat, you know. And this was really deep, like, meow. It was down there. It wasn't so much from his diaphragm. It was more from his very soul, in a way. It was from his soul. As if he was watching his 9 cat lives pass before him. As a stranger turned him into a cat lollipop. But more disturbingly, as he went, meow, he looked over his shoulder at the vet at the same time, as if he'd had some kind of conversation. He sort of went, meow, as if he was saying,
you could have bought me dinner first.
So after the temperature debacle, if not incident, the vet looks at Edward's paw and he says,
oh dear, that's a classic sign of stress, that is.
Classic, no less. And then the vet asked me a question that if I'd known the answer to, that would have been far more disturbing than the question itself. He said to me,
Any other cats recently moved into the area?
I'm quite a busy bloke, right? I've got stuff to do. I don't wake up of a morning and think to myself, take the kids to school, sort out the MOT, check if any of the cats have moved in the area. I'm busy with other stuff. So the vet, as a point of explanation, says,
the problem is, Mr. Maloney.
And I said, you talk to me. Because we both looked up. He said,
An alpha male cat has moved into the area. And by definition, an alpha male cat is still in possession of his clock weights. Whereas Edward would be considered castrati. This new cat has upset the pecking order in leafy SW12, which is why Edward has started to self-harm.
I said, well, that all makes perfect sense, Dr. Vet. So what are you going to do to stop him biting himself? So the vet, in his wisdom, put one of these upside-down lampshade things on my cat's head. Looks a bit like an Elizabethan ruff. He's got this on, Edward. He can't see out either side of it. He thinks he's trapped, so he's walking backwards trying to get out of it like this. It gets near the edge of the table. I thought, let him go, it'd be funny, but no. The vet stopped him. No sense of humour, these people. At this point, Edward is up and down on the table going crazy. And let's face it, he's had a bad day already. Think about it. He's been awake longer than normal. I've hit him with a spade. He's taken one up the arse. And now he's in Tudor period costume. He's had less confusing days. So the vet, espying the kerfuffle, sharp as a knife, says...
He's had an adverse reaction to the collar.
I thought, you're good, you. I wouldn't have spotted that only using the naked eye. That's 7 years of training, that is. You're the cat whisperer.
I'm going to have to keep him in overnight for observation.
I said, great, what's that going to cost?
£71.
Yeah. Travelodge, 39. This is the world we've created for ourselves. Me and the cat and the vet went down to Travelodge in the end. Hello? Yeah, three, please. Name? Edward Maloney. Plus two. But if there's one thing I'd like you to take away from this show this evening, I'm of the generation where if I've enjoyed something, and hopefully you've enjoyed elements of this, if not all of it, that would be my absolute honour, that you just remember it. You don't have to have hold a phone up to tape it or record it. I've got this capacity called memory. And I've had it... I've had it as long as I can remember. I've had it ages. And the great thing about memory is that it's portable. And it doesn't run out, and you don't, battery doesn't run low. You know, your memory is there forever. I mean, I can close my eyes now, and it's 1979 again, and I'm 14, and the Jam are on stage at the Hammersmith Odeon, one of the most euphoric nights of my life. That's the great thing about memory. And if there's anything I'd like you to take away with you this evening from this performance, in those kind of memory terms, I'd like it to be... Meow. And... What I need you to do at work tomorrow morning, not what I want you to do, what I need you to do, and that's very different. 9:30 precisely, put down whatever you're doing, take a second, and go, meow, like that. And I can guarantee your workmate will say, what the hell are you doing? Then just look at them with a straight face and say, sound of a cat, take them up the jacksie. And then just carry on with your work as if it never happened. This is how the revolution will begin. I've been John Maloney, and this was the John Maloney Show.
John Maloney Show was written and performed by John Maloney and featured Gareth Waugh, Julia Sutherland and Fred McCauley. It was produced by Richard Melvin at Dabster Productions for BBC Radio 4.